So we got seven lines down from the top. The Gemara was trying to figure out what is wrong with using a par and sar for Yom HaKippurim from the previous Yom HaKippur. Why can't you use it for the this new Yom Kippur after years passed? The Gemara had made a number of different suggestions, because maybe you're going to say the gar from last year was Kaveya, or maybe because the Chata Shemesa Baaleh, or maybe because the Chata Shavar Shnasan. Each of these had different challenges, because in the end it was only a Gzera, and because of Gzera you're going to say Yamusa, that the animals should die. So Gemara finally says here in Tamach Vav, Ela Amar Rava, Rava says Gzera B'Shem Tekala. It's a Gzera because of the Tekala. It is a Gzera, Ina Hanami. And what was the Tekala? Tekala is that if you have an animal sitting around for a year, that animal is Kadosh, and a person might use it for, it's a Giza Vavoda, that's a full year of having to be responsible for a carbon and something wrong going with it. So therefore, the Gzera, lest it happen, and such an animal, you have to Yamusu. How do we know this? So Gemara says that the Mishnah teaches us that ein makdishin vein marichin vein machrimim. These are different types of hektish. There's hektish, there's erichin, there's cherim. Different types of hektish. One cannot do this bizman hazeh. One should not do this. Ve'im hektish if one does do this. Or herich, or hechrim, behema, the din is it's kadosh. So what do you do with such an animal? Behema te'akar, which means you're going to be okay, we're going to kill it. We'll see how in just a second. Peros ksus v'kelim, of fruit and clothing and the vessels, yirkvu, you let it just rot. And maos v'chlimateichos, coins and metal, yolich hana liyam hamelchi, throw it into the Dead Sea, because you can't leave it around. We're concerned you might get hana from it and be violation of me'ila of some sort. Ve'ezehi iker, what's considered iker that you do to a behema? Noel delis lefaneh v'himesa me'ela. You lock it up inside somewhere and just let it starve to death. So we see from here, because of the tekala, we apply yamusu. Ah, it's a gzera. It's a gzera that we're concerned with, so therefore we say yamusu. So Gemara says, tekala b'demai, what type of tekala are we referring to? What might happen? E tekala d'akrava, if it's that you might come to be makriv the animal, then afilu kol rayos nami, then all the other types of rayos, which is the ria. We have a number of animals that we said, that the dinis, if it becomes a bamum, we say you have to yeira'a ad shiyastayv, you have to let it graze. So why do we let it graze? We should let it just drop dead, because it might take months, maybe even years, I don't know, for this animal to get a balmum. So let an animal just graze the field? Isn't that a concern about takala? So it can't be that you might come to be makrivit, because every one of the animals that are roos should have that same concern. Ita kal the giza of avoda. If the concern is you might come to shear it, you might come to use it for avoda, so why are we only concerned by a par visayir that was left from last year's Yom Kippur? Afil korayos nami. Every animal that we say, yeira ad sheyestayv, where you let it sit around for weeks, months, maybe years, shouldn't we be concerned you might come to do giza of avoda? In other words, why are we only concerned by a par visayir that's left from last year? We say amusu. But all other instances of yeira ad sheyestavu, we don't say let it die. We say let it graze until it gets a mum. What's the difference? So Gemara says, Li'olam, in reality, Tekala da'krava. It really is a concern. You might take the animal and bring it as a carbon. It's not supposed to be used for a carbon. So you have the par v'sayir from last year's Yom Kippur. It's designated for Yom Kippur. You might come to bring it as a regular carbon during the year, and that would be a problem. So why are we only concerned that the par v'sayir might be used as a carbon, and we say yamusu? Why not all the other animals that we say, yeirau ad sheyestavu, we should also be concerned you might bring it as a carbon, and yet we let it sit around and graze? And the Gemara says, because there's a difference between the par v'sayir, which is an animal that's tamim, versus the animal that's a balmum, that we say, yeirau ad sheyestavu. Why? Because the hanuch, the lab, bnei akrava ninu, those animals that we say, yeirau ad sheyestavu, we only apply that when there's a balmum. I mean, it's not right for carbon anymore. Lo tarbu. No one's involved in it. You just leave it in the backyard and let it graze. You're not osik in it to protect it from something happening. It's already a balmum, and it's off your radar. However, hach de basa krava, the par v'sayir, which was designated for last year's Yom Kippur, it wasn't used, so now you're saving it for this year, you're protecting it to make sure it doesn't get balmum, you're focused on it being a carbon, you might come to makrivit hu tarba, and therefore there's a concern only by the par v'sayir, which is not a balmum, as opposed to all the other cases that we say, yeiro ad sheyestavu, are by definition not roi for a carbon, therefore one's not tarred with it, and there's no concern of a tekala. So Gemara now says, this Indian of tekala, atzma tanahi. This very issue of whether or not we're concerned of a tekala happening to an animal hanging around or not is actually a machlokas tanahi. So Gemara says, the Tanya, one price that teaches us, Tanya Chada, Pesach shelokar berishon, yikar b'sheni. If you had an animal and you didn't get a chance to use it for Pesach rishon, leave it over till Pesach sheni, that's fine. Let's say b'sheni, you didn't use it for Pesach sheni, yikar v'lashan haba, you're allowed to use it for the next year. So we see that this b'raisa is not concerned with a tekala. V'tani idach, the other b'risa, lo yikrav, you cannot save it over for a whole other year, because why? My lav b'takala pligi. They are arguing whether or not we're concerned of someone misusing the animal over the course of a year. So one b'risa says we're not concerned and leave it over for next year. The other b'risa says we are concerned and don't leave it over for next year. So we see that b'takala is in machlokas tonight. And the Gemara says, lo, not true. The chuliyama lo chashinan l'takala. These two b'risas, both of them agreed that we're not concerned with b'takala. So what's the machlok is whether you can leave it over for next year or not leave it over for next year. V'hacha b'pluksa de Rebbe, v'rabbanan k'miflagi v'lo kashya. Ha-Rebbe, ha-Rabbanan. This machlok is between Rebbe and Rabbanan, whether or not an animal that was left from last year, would it be possible because of Shana Avrasa, a year past or not? Remember, yesterday we said Rebbe goes based on the solar calendar. So it's very possible, that it is possible, it happens, that Pesach to Pesach is only 354 days. It's not a full year yet because the full year of the animal goes based on 365 days. So the one who says you're allowed to use it for next year is like Rebbe, that you go based on the solar calendar, and the one that says you cannot use it for next year is because you go like the Rabban that goes based on the lunar calendar, and already by the time the next Pesach comes around, it's past the year and therefore possible. Just look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ha Rebbe, around exactly where we are in the Gemara, Ha Rebbe, De Amar mi Pesach le Pesach ef shelo, shelo av Roshna. So it's possible from Pesach to Pesach, if it's not a leap year, that a full year has not passed from the solar calendar. V'yafa pishehufer shalacha shmona l'leidasa. Even though 8 days have passed until you've brought it, you still have you have 3 days to work with from Pesach to Pesach. And therefore, Rebbe allows you to use it for next year as long as the solar calendar hasn't completed, as opposed to the Chachamim. And the Gemara says, that can't be true. V'ha tanya v'chein hamalos. The Braisa says, just like they debate whether using the animal itself from last year to this year, they also debate whether the money designated can be used from last year to this year. And most certainly is not subject to the din of Avra Shnaso. So this price is not about a year passing or not a year passing. Ella must be Lav Shmamina Bitakala Pligi Shmamina. They're arguing about whether or not money left over that was designated for the Besach, if you leave it around, will that lead to a Takala or will not lead to a Takala? So in the end, we can conclude that Takala is in fact the Machlokas tonight. So new Mishnah tells us back to the Seder Avodah. The Mishnah says, "Balo Eitzel Sar Mishalech." So what happened was, now just to remind ourselves, the Kohen Gadol sprinkled all the Dama Sayer, all the Dama Par, he poured everything on the Mizbech HaPnimi, and eventually the Mizbech HaChiton, he is done with all the blood now. So now he moves his attention to the Sir Mishalech, which eventually is going to get sent off the cliff. So Balo Eitzel Sir Mishalech, the Somech Shteyadov, he places his both of his hands, Olav, on top of the Sayer, Umisvada, he says, Vido, he confesses, Vekacha Yomer, it says as follows, An Hashem Chatu Avu Pashu, we sin or they sin, the Fanech Amcha Beis Yisrael. Ana Hashem Kaper No Lachatam Levanos the Pashayim Shechatu V'Sheavu Shepashu. All the sins that they violated, the Fanech in front of you, Amcha Beis Yisrael. Let all of the house of Klai Yisrael. Kekasa B'Taras Moshe Abdecha Lemur Ki B'Yom Azei Chaper Leichem. The Taras Hem Mikochato Seichem Lefnei Hashem Titaru. That Hashem should purify all of us from our sins. Va'Kohanim Va'Am Ha'Omdim Ba'Azara. Those who are standing there, whether it's Kohanim or anyone else. When they hear the Shem Hashem, when it came from the Kohen Gadol, we should all be familiar from the Nusach of the Tefillah. When they bend down, and on their faces, they would say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed. And then after saying the Vidur and the bowing down, Masru L'Mishay Malichu, the Kohen Gadol would then hand off the Sir Mishalech to he who was appointed to send it off the cliff. The Kohen Gadol would not go himself, he would send the Shliach. Hakol Kshem, everybody is fit. You didn't have to have any yichus to do the shlichus. However, lalichu elisha also kohanim gadolim keva. Many don't have the gears of gadol. It's really be elisha also hakohanim keva. The kohanim became kaveya v'lo hayum anichan esisrael lalichu. Only the kohanim took the shlichus. They would not allow the Yisraelim to take it, even though Yisraelim were allowed to do the shlichus. Kohanim they had a monopoly on the shlichus. Just look at Rashi. Rashi says, Elisha osu kohanim keva, shir gilu lasus at kohanim keva lios molichin also. That was the practice that kohanim would do the shlichus. Lohayu beisdin shal kohanim manichin es yisrael lo alichu. The beisdin of kohanim, those who were in charge of appointing the person, the shliach, would not appoint a member of a non-kohen to do this. So then the Mishnah says further and finishes off the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Maisa, there's once a Maisa of alichu, Arsla. Arsla, he was a person's name, says Rashi. V'Yisrael, he was a Yisrael. See, even though they didn't let him, there was one event that a Yisrael did, in fact, do the shlichus. The kevash asu lo, there was a ramp that was made that they sent the shliach off from the base of Migdash. It was a special ramp. Why was a ramp made? So the Mipnei Habavloim, the Babylonians, show you Mislashin Bisaro, they'd grab onto the hair of Omim Lo Tevet Sevet Tovet, take him out, take him out. What exactly were the Babylonians doing? So Rashi says, the last Rashi on the Amud, V'kevesh kemin mala asilo shu gavo, a very tall ramp. The Yotze Derech Osa Kevesh and the Shliach would take the Sir Lazazel onto this ramp. Chutz Azar, outside the Azar, he would not take the normal route. He would take this ramp. For Chutz, they would lead him out to the city. Why? Why do you have to have a ramp to avoid any traffic? Kedei Shelo Yuchla Bavloyim Liga B'Meshulach. They'd used to grab on to the Shliach. Lefisha Yuragilin Latal Shubasar. They'd grab onto his hair, poke out his hair when he's pushing out the goat. The omen, they say to him, Lo tol maher, hurry up, take it out already. What are you waiting for? V'tseva al tisha, don't wait anymore. Avano senu etzlenu ba'od, our sins are still here. Our sins are depending on you and the Sibah Shliach. So they pull his hair, shove him, and push him. So to protect this Shliach, they have to make a special ramp to avoid these Babylonians. So Gemara now says in the bottom here in Samech Vavam and Aleph, V'ilu b'ni Aaron am kudoshecha lo kamar. When the Kohen Gadol did the vidoy on the Sibah Shliach, he only said, Amcha beis Yisrael. Why did he not also say Bnei Aaron Am Kedoshecha? They should be included in the same kapar. So the Gemara says Man Tana. Who is the Tana? Who authored this Mishnah? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Rabbi Yirmiyahu says it must be Dilok Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because Dik Rabbi Yehuda Ha Amar Yeishlem Kapara B'Siam Shalech. There's a machlokas whether or not, we saw this the other day, whether or not the Kohanim get that kapara in the Siam Shalech, or all the kapara is only achieved through the par. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that Kohanim get the same kapara as Klai Yisrael. So he would have learned, it should say, Amcha Beis Yisrael, and also would have said that Bnei Aaron Am Kedoshecha. The fact that it doesn't say, Bnei Aaron Am Kedoshecha, must be, this is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Sima Shalech, it's only Mechaper on Amcha Beis Yisrael. So Gemara says, Dik Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Amar Yishlam Kapara, B'Shima Shalech. And it would have been included in this statement of the Vidur. So Abai Amar, Abai responds back to Rabbi Yirmiyahu. He says, no, Afilu Tame Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda can still be the author of this Mishnah. Are they not part of Amcha Yisrael? When you say Amcha Beis Yisrael, that includes not only Yisraelim, not only Levim, but also Kohanim. It's all included. It's a much broader category. So this is not to indicate anyone like Rabbi Yehuda or not like Rabbi Yehuda. It could be like either one. So then the Gemara says, last line of the Amud here, Masu Lemisha Molichu. The Kohen Gadol would hand off the Yisir Meshalech to the Shliach. And Tanya Rabbanan Baisa says, Ish. So we have to look at the Pasuk for a second. The pasuk, you have it on the side of the page, the whole pasuk reads that when we point the shliach, it says v'samach Aaron as sheyadav al rosh ha'sayir hachai, he places his hands on the live goat, that's the siyam shaleach v'isvada alav as kol ha'mitzvos ha'kavonos b'nei Yisrael, he vid confess all the sins v'skol p'shem l'chol chatasam v'nasim osam al rosh ha'sayir, they place the averos almost figuratively on the animal's head v'shilach b'yad ish Iti Hamidbar. They send it off in the hands of the Ish Iti. That Ish Iti. What does Ish Iti mean? The word Iti literally means ace, the time. So let's, what does this mean? So Gemara Darshan is the words Ish and Iti. Tanarban Ish means Lahach Shia Cesar. Ish, any person. There's no Yichas, a Kohen, a Levi Yisrael. That's Ish. Stam Ish is Kasher. Afilo Azar. Iti means Sheyehe, Gomant Amrabay now. He has to be Sheyeh Mizuman. He has to be prepared already, designated, says Rashi in the top here. Muchan Lachach Me'esmo. You can't just choose someone today. Oh, let's pick you. Has to have already been designated from Erev Yom Kippur. And Iti, further with Darshan, Afilu B'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, he could go out and take the Sa'ir. Look at Rashi in the top here. Iti, Afilu B'Shabbos, Iti B'Ito, Uvimo'ado, Yishaleach V'lo Yavor. He should do it in the right time. Even if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, he should do this. V'Afilu B'Shabbos U'B'Tumah. We'll see what the concern of Shabbos might be. And furthermore, it says, V'Iti, Afilu B'Tumah. Even if he's Tameh, he could go ahead and violate Tumah to get the animal. He could walk into the base of Mikdash when he's Tameh to retrieve the Siyam HaShalech and go off and send it. So Gemara is now going to darshan each of these drushes. Number one, Ish. Ish is Lahach Shri Azar, to allow even Azar to be the Shliach. Pshita, that's obvious. Why would he not be able to do this? So Mao, the same, what would you have thought? Kapara Ksibbe, it says Kapara. And maybe you would require a Zar, I'd rather a Kohen, to do the Kapara. Kamashulon, that even Azar, one is able to do the Kapara. So Mar Tzchias asks the question, he says, what's the chiddush here? We already learned a couple days ago that the chiyasa l'tzuk is shchitaso, that pushing the animal off the cliff is equivalent to shchita, and we already know in general the shchita can be done by a zar, so why do you think a zar couldn't be able to do this? That's the question of Mar Tzchias. So the answer is, since this is Yom Kippur, and since all the avodas must be done by the Kohen Gadol, there's a havamina, this too must be done by the Kohen Gadol, that's why we have to have a special chiddush, that this type of shchita also can be done by a zar. So next thing the Gemara says, the next drasha, iti afilu b'Shabbos, that even on Shabbos, one could go ahead and send off the siyam mishalech. My hilchasa, what concern is it? What's the violation? What malach are you doing when you're sending the animal off the cliff? What's the concern? So look at Rashi. Rashi elaborates a little bit further on the question here. My hilchasa, ma chilu Shabbos yesh shehutzach latiru. Is there any chil Shabbos involved here? He's not holding the animal. It's not so. It's so issues, is there? Imishim tchumim ameis tchumim. Tchumim is only the rabbanan ba'almaninu. Shegazer lein la'achar matan Torah. The rabbanan, we're not going to go there in a din the rabbanan to push off the din of a din deraisa of siyam shaleach. So it can't be tchum. What chil Shabbos is there? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes Lomar Shimhaya Chola Markivo Akseifo. Let's say the sire is sick. So if it's referring to actually the person himself, I think, right? If the sire is sick, you're allowed to carry the sire on his shoulders, and therefore that's a violation of otsa. That's the din. So Gemara says, "Kiman, who this is hold like? The low Rabbi Nassan. This is not like Rabbi Nassan, because the Rabbi Nassan he holds haomer chai noset asma. A person could carry an animal, a person, a human being on Shabbos. It's only an iser midrabban, because a chai noset asma. We know a person dead weight is heavier than a live person. So carrying a chai noset asma, he carries himself. That's not really called hotza. It's an iser midrabanan, but we won't push off an iser push off a mitzvah deraisa in the face of an iser midrabanan. So this must be an opinion that argues a Rabbi Nassim that holds that a chai is not noset asma. There is an iser deraisa of carrying an animal. So the Gemara says no. Maybe this case is different. Maybe Afilu Tema Rabbi Nassim would agree in this case that Cholashayin, that person's ill or an animal's ill, there's more dead weight there. So Rabbi Nassim says it's then by a chai when an animal or a human being, a person is healthy, that's chai no sets asmo, that's only nisim midirabanim. But when the person or the animal is sick, where it's much more dead weight almost, so then that would be considered a real hotzah, and that'd be an iser midiraisa. And that's what the pasuk says, even if the sire is sick and it would be an iser deraisa of hotzah, the din is you're allowed to carry him anyways because the pasuk says, iti afilu b'Shabbos. Fine. There's an interesting question actually that everyone agrees, but that the chai no sets asmo is derabanan, and if it's a mace, it would be an iser deraisa. There's a shaila in the poskim, what if a person is sleeping? If a person is sleeping, does he have a din of mace? But then of chai, so it impacts many halachas in general. But one area that it impacts here, would this be hotza like a mace, or would it be considered alive and it would be only an iser midirban? We have a person who sleeps. Let's say, just for example, off topic for a moment, the person is sleeping. So there's a shaila whether or not he's chayv in mitzvahs in general. So there's a Rav Shlomo Zalman that talks about if a person falls asleep, you know, we have to sleep in the sukkah. It's one of the requirements of the sukkah. If a guy falls asleep in the sukkah, so at that point, Rav Shlomo Zalman says you're allowed to actually pick him up while sleeping and remove him from the sukkah. The only requirement is to fall asleep in the sukkah. But while sleeping, a person is exempt from mitzvah, so you actually can take him out while sleeping. So it impacts many halakhas. How do we categorize sleep? Is sleep considered alive, or is sleep considered dead? So this is one of the applications here. Is it considered chai no sets asmo, or is it considered mace as asmo? So either way, the Gemara says, that's the chiddush. If the sire is sick, and therefore somewhat like dead weight, you're allowed to carry it, even though it might be a din deraisa, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of a sir mishalech. So then the Gemara says, based on this, Amar Raphim. Raphim says, Zos Amersis teaches us, Erev Votzal Shabbos, V'ein Erev Votzal Yom Kippur. He concludes from here that the Isser Votzal only applies to Shabbos, but does not apply to Yom Kippur. Why? Because the Gemara only says this only when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. It says, Iti V'afil B'Shabbos. Forget Shabbos. Let's say regular Yom Kippur that falls out on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So that also doesn't have the din of Shabbos. So shouldn't we always have the din of if he's sick? I Iti V'afil Yom Kippur. Must be that there's no Isser Votzal on Yom Kippur, and there's no Isser and no Chiv of Erev on Yom Kippur either. The Gemara just points out halacha lemaisa. We don't assume this way. Raphram says this in a few places, but look at top Tosos here. Right? It's Amar Raphram Zos Omeris Eir Votza Amrinu Beperek Amrulon Gemara Krisis. The Raphram Bedusi. He was made a mistake, and we actually conclude that Bein B'Shabbes Bein B'Yom Kippur. There is Hotza, and there's also Eiriv as well. So now the Gemara just aside. There's a Gerus Ari which asks an interesting question. He says lemaisa. What's it? Why do we say that you're allowed to violate Shabbos to perform the mitzvah of Sir Mishalech? The whole idea of Sir Mishalech is only, it's not Likuva, Lechachila. We already said as long as the Sir Mishalech is alive, by the time you finish sprinkling the blood of the Lashem, and it dies, you fulfill the mitzvah. Lechachila, of course, you should send it off, but if it dies earlier, there's no, it's not Likuva. So if it's not Likuva, it's not Ma'akiv, the Kapara, how can we go ahead and say that you're Docha Shabbos to carry the animal to perform a mitzvah? That's not B'dievet, that's not Likuva. So the Gemara says it's no different than the din of Hekter Chalavim Veivarim. The din is that you're allowed to be Makter Chalavim Veivarim on Shabbos itself. Now, wait a second, why is that allowed? Really, Mazda Shabbos, you're allowed to burn the fats and the limbs of an animal. Let's say a carbon tamid shel shachar is brought in Shabbos. So you can burn it on Shabbos all day long. That's a melacha. But you're really allowed to push it off to Mazda Shabbos. So why don't we say, push it off to Mazda Shabbos and not violate Shabbos itself? So the din is, because the melacha is, once the carbon tamid was docha Shabbos, all the other pieces are docha Shabbos as well. Even though it's not necessary, it really comes, it's all connected. So here's, well, the Sar Lashem, right, the grocery, and the Sar Lazazel are attached to each other, and the Sar Lashem certainly is Docha Yom Kippur, no question about it. So since the Sar Lazazel is the continuation of it, even though it's not Ma'akev, but considered the continuation, so once Yom Kippur is Nidcha, because the Sar Lashem, it's also Nidcha for the Sar Lazazel, even though the Sar Lazazel is not Ma'akev, the entire Kippur. So now the Gemara says as follows, the last Joshua we had, again, Ish Afil Zar, we said Iti Afil B'Shabbos, now Iti Afil B'Tumah, the Gemara says, the Mai Hilchasa, which halacha does this impact? And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes, Lomar Shim Nitma, if he becomes Tameh, the Shlech becomes Tameh, Mishalcho, Nitma Mishalcho, the Mishalech becomes Tameh, Nichnas Tameh Lazara U'Mishalcho. He's allowed to enter into the base of Mikdash, even though there's an Issa Deraisa. For one who's Tameh to enter into the base of Mikdash, there's a special Gzeres HaKasiv that the Ish Iti could enter in when he's Tameh in order to send it off. So that's the thing. Fine. So now the rest of the Gemara is going to be, most of the rest of the Gemara is going to be interesting. We're going to have a series of interesting questions, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer, is going to give interesting answers. He's going to avoid answering the question in most of the case, because he had this cloud that he did not answer any questions that he did not hear from his Rebbe himself. So it's going to be a little bit odd, but we'll work with it anyways. So Gemara says as follows. Shalu es Rabbi Eliezer, chala mal sheyakivu akseifo. What if the individual, if the sari gets sick, are you allowed to carry him on your shoulders? So what do you respond back? If the sar gets sick, could you carry it on the shoulders? That's why you bring the sugi here. Amar Lem, Rabbi Eliezer says to them, Yachal hu la'arkiv ani v'atem. What do you mean? The goat is healthy, it could carry me and you. So nothing to do with the question at all. He just said, the goat could carry me and you. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Yachal la'arkiv ani v'atem. Bari chazak ha'yahasar. The sar was always healthy and strong. La'arkiv osi v'aschem olav. It could carry me and you on the goat's back. And Rashi says, L'kaman amrina. We're going to see in a little bit. He did not want to answer the question. He was very makbid not to say anything he did not hear from his Rebbe himself, so therefore he just kind of dodged the question and just gave a very strange response. Next question they had asked him. Let's say the Mishalech gets ill. He's allowed to appoint another Shleach in his place. Rabbi Elazar says to them, Ahav shalom v'ani v'atem. Let it be in shalom, me and you will be healthy. So Rashi says, Ahav b'shalom ani v'atem, klomar, malachem l'shol azos. What type of shaila is this? Lo ani v'atem nizkaka l'shiluha. You and I are not sending him off, so it's an irrelevant question. Why bother me with this? And third question they had asked him, dachva v'lo meis. Let's say you push off the seir mishalech, it doesn't die off the cliff. Mao sheyared achara v'yamisenu. Is it an Indian to go chase after him and kill the goat that fell off the cliff? So Amar Lami says back to them, ken yovedu kol evech Hashem. Let all the enemies of Hashem die. So he didn't answer the question. Three questions and three ways of dodging the question. Chachamim, when they said back, Chala markiva ksefo, you're allowed to carry the goat on his shoulders if it's, the goat is sick. Chala mishalcho, if the mishalach is sick, you shall chenem yarach, you could send him off in another shliach. And the Sfas Emes asks the question, could the initial shliach himself appoint a new shliach, or does the Kohen Gadol have to now appoint a new shliach? That's a question in the Sfas Emes. And then finally, v'dachva v'lomeis, if you push off the sawyer, it doesn't die, yarad achrava v'yamisenu, you should chase after it and kill it. So we see the Chacham do answer the questions, even though Rabbi Elazar himself did not answer the question. Next series of questions. Shaluas Rabbi Eliezer, ploni ma'al olam haba. Is this particular individual, is he roi for olam haba? What's this referring to? So Rashi says, one pshat is referring to, just stop a person, he asked, is that guy roi to olam haba? Rashi gives another pshat, is referring to whether Shlomo ben David, Shlomo HaMelech, was roi to Olam Haba. And then Tosus gives another pshat, maybe it's referring to Avshalom, whether he was roi to Olam Haba. Look at Tosus to elaborate a little bit more on that last question. Says Tosus, Ploni ma'al to Olam Haba, Persha ben Chananel, Avshalom, Shebal Pilag Shel Aviv, he was born as David HaMelech's Pilagish, Mahu, what's the din? Olam Haba, does he lose Olam Haba for violating Eishes Ish, or maybe even Eishes Av, or not? So, Misvirlan Hodam Rav Noshim Bekshuva Vekedushin. A wife is one who is married to Ksuva and Kedushin. However, Pilagshim is below Ksuva or below Kedushin. Ha Chamin Besenhejim Per Kohen Gadol. Oh, lo. So what's the din exactly? Does a pilagish have a din of an isha or not isha? That was the part of the suffix. And v'yesha, mefarshim, some say that the sheila was a shlomo. Misvir lan k'rebi yonasan damar kol ha'omer shlomo chata ino el ha'tarot. Do we hold like this? That those who accuse Shlomo of sinning are mistaken. He never sinned at all. Shenemar lo'haya livavo shalem. His heart was in full. K'lav David. Or do we say he did sin? So these were the different shilas that was asked. Was it a random person? Or was it about Avshalom? Or was it about Shlomo HaMelech? What was his response? So Amar lo, he says, lo sheila suni ela alponi. I was never asked about this person. Which is unclear exactly how to understand the response here, but he avoided the question somehow. The way Rashi says the response is, Ella al ploni, shema al avshalom shal suni. So according to Rashi, he was asking about Shlomo HaMelech, and he says, maybe you're asking about avshalom, and he never really gave an answer. Next, he asked him, Mao shel lahatzil ro'eh kivsa min ha'ari. Could the shepherd save the sheep from an ari? So what is this question? So some say it's referring to Hilchos Shabbos. On Shabbos, could you do some type of Chil Shabbos to save someone's animal from being killed? It's a Hefsid Mamun question. According to Tosus, he says the question is, look at Tosus, Ma'al lehatzil kivsa min ha'ari. Could you save the sheep from the lion? It's Kulmer, Batsheva miyad David. Could you save Batsheva from the hands of David? Misvir lan d'amar Rabbi Yonasan b'maseches k'subis, kol yotzi l'mechames beis David, get krisus kos of l'isha v'uriya kos of get levatsheva. Ma'al lehatzil roa miyad, so that's one question. Could you save the sheep, is referring to Batsheva, from the lion? The next question, hold your the line there, Tosis, in a second. So the next question, the Gemara says, so Amar Lehen Lo Shalusunu Ella Al Haroa. I was only asked about, I'm sorry, I skipped the line there. Okay, Ma'al Atzi Roa Kivsa Min Ari. Amar Lehen Lo Shalusuni Ella Al HaKivsa. No one ever asked me about the Kivsa. Ma'al Atzi Roa Min Ari. Can you save the Roa from the Ari? So again, a lot of different yourselves here. So now the next question is unclear whether the Rebbe Elazar is saying the question or there's a new question that posed him. But the changing focus from the sheep, which is Batsheva, or maybe a real sheep, now it's changing to the roa. Can you save the shepherd from the lion? So if it's talking about Chil Shabbos, so the Mir says, of course, it's Pikuch Nefesh, of course you could save the shepherd. But according to Tosa's understanding, it's really a mashal, it's referring to now, could you save Uriah? Uriah is the roa now. Look at Rashi, Tosos. Tosa says, Ma'al lehatzil haroa miyad ha'ari. Could you save the shepherd from the lion? Kolomer Ma'al lehatzil Uriah, who is the roa, miyad David, who is the lion, Misvir lan, behold, Chokin covered the Talmud. You could show honor to the Talmud, namely to Uriah, who was the Talmud of David, B'makom Rav, V'haya Mor B'Machlis. He was not Mor B'Machlis. You need to show cover to the Talmud as well, or maybe no. Dilma Ein Chokin. We don't show any cover to the Talmud. We don't show cover to the Roeh, and Mor B'Machlis Hava. So it's very strange questions going on here. Unclear whether this is meant to be taken literally, or it's somehow a mashal to David, Batsheva, to David and Uriah, of Shalom, and so on. So then the Gemara says, another question that was asked to them, Mamzer, Ma'ul Yarish, can a Mamzer be Yarish a parent? So Ma'ul Liavam, can he perform Yibum? Ma'ul Lisudas Beso, could another question, when it comes to Rashi explains, Bezman Azeh, where there's a din, the Gemara Babasa tells us that you're supposed to, when you paint a house or you plaster a house, you have to leave some area open to Zeichel Churban. Is that still Noeg Bezman Azeh? He says, Ma'ul Lasudas Kivro. He says, well, maybe you're asking me about putting limestone or whatever it was, some type of plaster on the kever. Nothing to do with the question that was asked. So Gemara says, after this very strange back and forth and dialogue between questions and answers of Rabbi Elazar, Gemara finally explains what pshat here. Lo mipnei shifliga medvarm. It wasn't because he was trying to just avoid them. Rather, he had this misora. Mipnei shelo amar davar shelo shama mipi rabo me'olam. Because he would not say anything he never heard from his Rebbe. That's where it ends. So a very strange Gemara, but that's how it ends. So one time, Sha'ala Isha Chachma as Rabbi Eliezer, Me'acha Shemaisa. So one time a woman, a very smart woman, an intelligent individual woman, asked Rabbi Eliezer the following question. Me'acha Shemaisa Egel Shavin, if in fact all the different people were involved in the Ched Egel in an equal way, all the members of Klai Yisrael violated Ched Egel equally, the Pasuk says there were different misas handed out to different groups of people. So if the Aveiru is all the same, so why were the Onshin different? So Amr Lo, so he says there, Ein Chach Malisha, Ela Pelch, your only wisdom is in the world of Pelch, which is referring to weaving. You have no understanding of the Torah and Chachma. Stick to, making clothing. V'cheinu Omer, V'cholisha Chachmas Leve, B'yodeh Tavu. All the women's intelligence, all her skill set is in terms of making clothing. Don't get involved in the questions of the Torah. And he didn't answer. So the Gemara then says, Itmar, so on this topic of the Ched Egel, as to why different punishments were given out, the machlokes between Rav and Levi. Chad Amar, one felt, Hacha, Zivach, V'kitar, Basayef. those who did a zvicha and did a k'tara in the Chet Eger, that did a real mamash avoda, they were chayiv b'sayif. Why sayif? So if you look at Rashi, the last narrow line of the page explains that zivach v'kiter hein avodos shechayavim aleim l'avodos zara misa. These are types of avodas. They did a zvicha, they did a shchita, they did a haktara. That's mamash avodos zara k'ditznam barba misos shem b'skila. One who does skila, rather one who does avodos zara is chayiv in skila. So why do they get sayif only? The kan b'sayif she'adayin lo nisparshu lehen arba misos bezin. The misos bezin were not handed down to Klai, so because this was called the Matan Torah. They didn't get the Torah just yet. It was at Matan Torah. V'nidona b'misos b'nei noach she'kom misos b'sayif. Therefore, the default was to give them a sayif, which was the punishment given to all the b'nei noach. So that was the first category of people who died b'sayif. Next category, says the Gemara, that gifa v'nishak, those who did chibuk v'nishak, those who hugged and kissed the cheda egel b'misa, they died b'misa b'dei shemayim, and the smech b'levavo, those who were just happy and rejoiced about the occasion, but they didn't do any type of avoda or any type of worship, they were b'hajokim, they died with some type of illness. That was according to one understanding. Comes along the other one, chana marno, edim v'asra, those who had edim and asra and warned them not to do what they were about to do, they died b'sayif, they had misa bezin, they had edim v'asra. Those who had edim, but below asra, no warning was given to them, they died b'mises b'deshemayim. And those who were low edim, below asra, b'hadrokan, they died b'hadrokan. So these were three different categories, according to Rav and Levi. So Amar Rav Yehuda says, Shiftei shalevi lo avod avodos kochavim. The Sheva Levi, as we know, were not involved at all in the avodah zara, in the Chayde Egel. Shenemar says, V'yamon Moshe b'shar ha-machne, that Moshe Benu stood at the gate of the machne, and he said the remaining part of the pasuk is what's important here. So it says in the pasuk, V'yomer mi l'ashem elai, who's with me? V'yasu elav kol b'nei Levi. All Levi joined Moshe Benu. So you see that Sheva Levi certainly was not involved in the Chayde Egel. So Yasser Ravina said, he's understanding this pasuk, the Kamar Leila Shmaisa, Esve B'nei Rapapa, the children of Papa, Bar Abba, Ravina, they challenge Ravina. Is it really true that B'nei Levi were not involved in Chet Egel? Doesn't it say in the pasuk, Ha'omer Laviv Lima La Reisav, those who didn't see the father and mother involved in the Chet Egel? It's a Levi. They saw their own father and mother, says the pasuk, that were involved in Chet Egel. They didn't, meaning they didn't recognize. They were not mocking the parents, and they were willing to kill their own parents if they're involved in avodah zara. Read the whole pasuk. It says that Ha'omer la'aviv l'imo la'risav, I don't see you. Ves achiv lohika, I don't recognize my brother. Ves barav lo'yada, even his own children he didn't know. Kishamru amasecha b'rischa yintoru, to protect the covenant of Hashem, they killed their own parents, children, brothers at Chayda Egel. Who are the ones who were killing the Sheva Levi? So Sheva Levi had to kill their own parents and sons and children and siblings. So they were, Sheva Levi were involved in the avodah zara of Chayda Egel. The Gemara says, no, what's going on here is, what it means is, aviv imo, what it means in Me Yisrael. The father means the grandfather, the maternal grandfather, his mother's father, who was not a Levi necessarily. He came from Sheva Naphtali, let's say. Or achiv, meant achiv mima Yisrael. A half-brother from the mother's side, who had a different father, that was a half-brother who had a different Sheva. That's who he was willing to kill. And Bana meant B'nai Beis Bito Misal, his grandchildren who came from a daughter who married some other Sheva. That grandson was not necessarily a Levi. Those were the types of relatives he had to kill. But anyone who came from Sheva Levi directly, Eina Chanami, they were not involved in the Chayda Egel. Gemara then says, back to what we said in the end of the mission, it says, Kevesh, the ramp, they built a ramp so the Mishalech could avoid the Babylonians and pull out his hair. So Amar Rabba Bar Chana Lo Bavloin Hayu, they actually were not Babylonians. Ella Alexandrian Hayu, they came from Egypt, Alexandria, Egypt. Hayu Umitoch Shisoneim Es Abavloin, they hated the Babylonians actually. Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Eretz Yisrael, and Bnei Babel did not get along with each other. So they said, since they hated Babylonians, Hayu Korino, so Al Shemam, they called them by the names. That was like calling someone Polish, you know, the same idea. They're Polish. So they're, you're Babylonian, you're an imbecile of some sort. That's how they use the derogatory name of Babylonian. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Bavloim Hayu, they were not Babylonians, Ella Achzanjin Hayu, Sa'amelo Rabbi Yosef. Yosef said, ah, Tanuch Daitcha, Shahinachta Daiti, says, Akash Baruch should rest your das because you rested my das. Why? Rabbi Yosef came from Babel, and he was concerned that he came from a family that was very difficult. It wasn't sure they were not so difficult, they were not so aggressive. They really Alexandrian, they gave them a bad name, but Yechanami, Bavloim were not the ones who were actually doing this. And finally, Gemara says, Tol Vitzay, they would say, go take him out, go take him out. So Tana, the Brisa says, Ma Hayu Omer, ma, what would they actually say? Shai Tzipura Din, don't hold back, don't delay the Tzipura, which is Aramaic for a sorry, don't hold it back. The Chobah Dara Sagin, because we have a lot of Averas that are totally in this sire, don't delay it, hurry, hurry, hurry. So let's quickly recap what we did. We finally find the explanation as to why you cannot use the parvasar from last year's Yom Kippur, and we said because if you leave it around, it's going to lead to a takala of you might be perhaps possibly being makrevit. So that was a din, and therefore you have to let it yamus, and you put it into a keeper and let it die. We said it's actually a machlokis in the brisa, whether we're concerned with takala or not takala. We saw that by whether or not you could use last year's extra sheep from Pesach to the following year's Pesach, are we concerned with the takala or not? That was machlokis time. Then we saw the rest of the mission about the Seder, the vidoy he did on the Sar Lazazel, and then he passed it on to the Ishiti to send it off the cliff. The reason why he only says Amcha Beisrael, not Amcha Bnei Aaron, Amcha the Shecha, because either we hold like you don't have, they're not included in this Sar B'Shalech, or they are included, but it's implied by the word Amcha Beisrael includes a Bnei Aaron as well. We said then the words Ishiti, Ish is any Zar would be allowed to do it. However, the Kohanim did not allow a Zar to do it, but in theory they would be allowed. And Iti tells me that you could even go against Shabbos if they carry the Sayer. And so Tzar, you're allowed to Iti Afil B'Shabbos, and Iti Afil B'Tumah, if the Mishalech becomes Tama, he's allowed to enter inside the base of Mikdash to retrieve the Sar Mishalech to send it off the cliff. Then we had the whole series of questions to Rebbe Elazar, which he avoided. So one question was, if the goat is sick, the Chacham Paskin, you can carry him on Shabbos, Yom Kippur. If the individual himself is sick, the Mishalech is sick, he could hand it off to another Shliach, and if it pushed down the cliff and it never dies, the Ishiti should go afterwards and kill it. And then we had the strange conversation of the Roa and the Ari and the Kevis. I won't go into those details. And then finally, the woman who asked the question about the Chet Egel, the different punishments, Rabbi Elazar was not willing to answer them because women are not involved in the Chachma of the Torah. And then finally, Rav and Levi had a machlokas as to why the three different punishments. One is because they did Avodah Zarah. The others only did Gifu Venishuk. And the other ones were just happy. And the other one felt, no, Edim Hasra versus Edim Bala Hasra versus Lo Edim Bala Hasra. And then finally, Rabbi Huda says that Sheva Levi was not involved in the Cheda Egel. When it said they killed their own parents and children, referring to those that were relatives not from Sheva Levi. And finally, the ramp where the Babylonians would actually pull their hair was not really Babylonians, really Alexandrians. But they call them Babylonians because that was a derogatory term in those times. Everybody have a wonderful day.